Hey there, sports history fan. Arnie Chapman here from the Sports History Network. Now, before you jump into this episode, I wanted to share with you an exciting giveaway we have going on with Home Field Apparel. We have a digital $50 gift card to homefieldapparel.com for one lucky fan of the Sports History Network. All you got to do is head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways to sign up. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways.
In this episode of the podcast, we talk about a league that's rebranded with a new name and a bunch of Hall of Famers on their birthdays. It's all coming up in just a moment. This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. This is your host, Darren Hayes, and we're podcasting from America's North Shore to bring you the memories of the gridiron one day at a time. So with Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff supplying us with the tunes, let's go no huddle through today's football history headlines.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Hello, my football friends. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com, and welcome to the Pigpen once again for your football history headlines and birthdays of Hall of Famers for the April 4th edition. And before we get started, I'm just reminded of when I played football in the 5th and 6th grade at my local parochial high school here in Erie, Pennsylvania. I would watch some of the gentlemen on our team that were larger players have to make weight. They had for 5th and 6th graders a 120-pound weight limit, I believe it was, that these poor guys would have to really sweat it out and do some really old-fashioned and probably unethical things in today's game. They would suit up with all their football pads on and helmet and wear garbage bags underneath and sweatpants over top of all their football clothes, and sometimes, you know, really warm weather in September, and jog around the track for, you know, miles on end while the rest of us are practicing and doing some things. And of course, you know, it was looked upon as weakness to drink water during those times. Coaches just did not understand the importance of hydration to the football game. But, you know, just the dedication that these young men did just to make weight so they could play in the games on Saturdays and Sundays that we would have was just outstanding. And I'm glad I never had to do that to make weight. I was always a little bit lighter of a fella, but you know, just great dedication for them. And we're going to be talking about some of this great dedication of football players around the world, of them wanting to play the game of football. And we'll talk about it in our football history headlines and our bios on birthday boys here for this April 4th. Let's get started right now with your football history headlines. April 4th, 1998, the NFL Europe, the former World League of American Football, or WLAF, kicks off its season. 1998 was the first season the league was known as NFL Europe. Yeah, they had that big name change going from the World League of American Football to NFL Europe. That sort of gave it a distinction of where it was played, took away some of the American teams that had been playing previously. In that important season, a guy that played for the Amsterdam franchise named Kurt Warner set the overseas league on fire, tossing for over 2,100 yards. The league schedule would come to a peak at the 1998 World Bowl, which was played on June 14, 1998, when the Rhein Fire would defeat the Frankfurt Galaxy 34-10, according to the footballdb.com website. It's a shame that the WLAF and NFL Europe didn't survive this day, because it really helped develop players and bring them to the spotlight, you know, like Kurt Warner. I mean, what a great player, and a bunch of other players that made it in the NFL. Just a great developmental league. And a few times we've tried to do developmental leagues in recent years, and it just haven't really panned out yet. And hopefully the NFL or some other great football minds will get that league to stick and be a you know, development for those guys that just aren't quite ready to make it to an NFL franchise on a 53-man roster, even a practice squad. But maybe a year or two of more experience after college will help them. Maybe the XFL, the regeneration with the Rock taking their reins there, and maybe possibly working something out with the CFL will help be that next step for tomorrow's great NFL stars like Kurt Warner did. Now, let's talk about some birthdays of Hall of Famers. Why don't we on this April 4th? We'll start off in year 1891, Alpena, Michigan. The University of Wisconsin's brilliant tackle from 1911 to 1913, Bob Butts Butler claimed his birthday on that day. Butts was a stout two-way tackle, and he knew how to hit opponents low and drive them to whatever location he wanted. He just had that low center of gravity. The Badgers were considered by many to be the top team in the country in 1912, and Butler was the anchor of the lines for Wisconsin. Many wanted to test the waters of how good the Badgers really were in 1912 by challenging Yale, who was the powerhouse at the time. But the Wisconsin faculty gave the idea the big thumbs down, preventing the 1912 game to take place. The Badgers, nevertheless, according to the NFF, went undefeated, blowing out rivals like Northwestern, Purdue, Minnesota, and even traveling to play Arkansas. Nine players from that 1912 UW squad were awarded with All-American honors in 1912, including Bob Butler. The National Football Foundation inducted Bob Butler into their College Football Hall of Fame in 1972. April 4th, 1907, Lake Charles, Louisiana. Bill Banker, the great Tulane halfback of 1927 to the 1929 teams, arrived in this world. Bill was known as the Blonde Blizzard, and according to his biography sketch on the footballfoundation.org website, this moniker came about because when that speedy, light-haired back ran on the field without a helmet, most people saw just a vanilla blur go across the field. Banker was voted as a 1929 All-American, and he established the Tulane school records for rushing with 263 points, 37 career touchdowns, 4 touchdowns in a game, 515 most rushing attempts in a career, and most rushes in a game with 43, and an astounding 93.2 yards rushing average per game. Wow, those are some big numbers, even for back then. In his senior year, he led Tulane to an undefeated season. Bill Banker's collegiate football records are celebrated in the College Football Hall of Fame after his induction in 1977. After school, he acted in some Hollywood movies for Warner Brothers and later played pro ball with the Memphis Tigers. April 4th, 1917, Bridgeport, Connecticut. The solid center of the Boston College teams from 1938 to 1940 seasons was born. And his name was Chet Gladjack. Chet was a well-rounded athlete who really cemented in the position of center, not only on the gridiron, but he also was a starting center of the BC Hoops team. The 1940 Golden Eagle football team was pretty solid too, as Gladchuck was one of 5 College Hall of Fame inductees from that team. The Football Foundation website says that Gladchuck was also associated with yet another Hall of Famer, as Frank Leahy was hired as the head coach there. Boston College posted a 9-1 record regular season mark and played Clemson in the Cotton Bowl. Despite losing 6-3, Gladchuck was part of the Boston College defense that forced Clemson to punt 11 times, which is a Cotton Bowl record. The 11-0 1940 squad was unquestionably Boston College's all-time best team. The Boston College team finished with a 19-13 Sugar Bowl victory over the Tennessee Vols in that 1940 season, and the NFF voters selected Chet Gladchuck for induction to their College Football Hall of Fame in 1975. April 4th, 1947, La Mesa, California. The impactful defensive tackle from Cal, Ed White, was born. The NFF tells us that White was a player who lettered 3 years at California, made All Pac-10 Conference 3 times, and made All-American in 1968. In 1968, he anchored the California defense and allowed only 5 rushing touchdowns in 11 games. That's pretty good. His legend lives on in his hometown of San Diego, where the local high school even named their field after him. The College Football Hall of Fame proudly placed a display in honor of Ed White into their legendary museum in 1999. In 1997, Ed rejoined the connection to the Cal football programs when he became an assistant coach with the team. April 4th, 1951. Canton, Georgia. The Alabama Crimson Tide standout offensive lineman from 1970 to 1972, John Hanna, celebrates his birthday. The National Football Foundation shares that John Hanna was perhaps the greatest offensive lineman in the history of the game, as many different credible experts offer great testimonials of this. His head coach at Alabama, the legendary Bear Bryant, said, "In over 30 years with the game, he's the finest offensive lineman I've ever been around." Big words from a big coach. Sports Illustrated 1981 called him the best offensive lineman of all time. Big magazine to say that statement. He also was All-American in 1971 and was a unanimous selection in 1972. In 1972, he also won the Jacobs Award as a nation's best blocker at his position, which was offensive guard. He was named Lineman of the Year by the Birmingham Quarterback Club, Atlanta Touchdown Club, and the Miami Touchdown Club. Alabama had a 27-8-1 record in his 3 years and won two conference championships. Hanna was named to Alabama's All-Century Team and the Southeast Conference All-50-Year Team from 1933 to 1982. The National Football Foundation tallied the votes in favor of John Hanna entering into the College Football Hall of Fame in 1999. And at the 1973 NFL Draft, the New England Patriots used their first-round pick to select Hanna. John had a brilliant 13 career with the Pats in the NFL, and he was equally proficient at blowing open big holes for the run game, as well as being a solid pass protector. According to the Pro Football Hall of Fame site, Hanna was selected as an All-Pro in 10 of his 13 seasons. Think about it, folks. 13 seasons, 10 as an All-Pro. And he played professionally, as well as being a four-time NFLPA Offensive Lineman of the Year, which are even more accredited of how special a player he was. John Hanna was enshrined for his great NFL play into the Pro Football Hall of Fame in 1991. April 4th, 1965. Griffin, Georgia. Jesse Tuggle, the fine linebacker from Valdosta State University, was born. Tuggle, according to the so-called experts, did not have the size or the foot speed to play linebacker to position at a high level in college football. Therefore, Jesse was not offered incentives to play in the Division I level, such as scholarships, so he played at Division II Valdosta State. At VSU, according to the NFF's bio on him, Jesse lettered all 4 years and made the All-Gulf South Conference team in three consecutive years. He gained All-American status as a senior, and after his career, Valdosta retired his number 88 jersey and named its athletic workout facility the Jesse Tuggle Strength and Fitness Complex because of all his hard work he did in training and trying to get better and improving his fitness. The collegiate legend of Jesse Tuggle was memorialized in the College Football Hall of Fame in 2007. And even with all these accomplishments he had in college, even the NFL teams didn't recognize how good he was, and he went undrafted. He tried out with the Atlanta Falcons and was 17th on their depth chart before he worked his way up to the ranks to make it to 5 Pro Bowls and have a great 14-year NFL career. What a story, never giving up, and just some great things of training and working hard and having that dream and, never give up your dreams and keep shooting for them, because if you work hard enough and train hard and do all the research and the homework, you will get to be whatever you want to be, whether it's a linebacker in the NFL in college or a doctor or an astronaut or whatever you'd like to be. Folks, just stay with that and stay the course and have the determination like Jesse Tuggle did and some of our other great players we talked about today, and you will soar with the Eagles, my friend, because that is what it's all about, and we respect that. And some other things we respect is we respect you joining us every single day on the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, and we really enjoy having you here because we couldn't do it without you. And just coming on to pigskindispatch.com every day and checking out our great articles we have there and our podcasts like this one that's posted there, as well as going to your podcast provider and hitting the follow button and making sure every single time we drop a new episode, which is daily at midnight Eastern, that you have it right in your inbox ready to go. And another way you can do that is if you email us at pigskindispatch@gmail.com and let us know that you want to be on our email list. We will send it to you every single morning about 6:45 Eastern time, and you'll get that email inbox just reminding you of our great stories that are popping up today on that day on Pigskin Dispatch, and our podcast that came out for that day. Sometimes we have multiple ones, like our Football by Numbers series is coming through right now. We'll have a bunch of them coming up this week. And you can also find us on the Sports History Network, where there is some other really good podcast providers there and hosts of podcasts that have some great shows. Like John Gidley has the Football Attic. That's just an excellent view. It takes you back to maybe some of those forgotten moments in football history that you can really enjoy. And also, we have a couple great authors that talk about football every other week. Joe Zagorski and Joe Ziemba wrote some really good books on NFL history, and they have a podcast, each of them. Joe Ziemba has When Football Was Football, and Joe Zagorski has The Pigskin Pass. Those are some great episodes, along with, you know, like I said, there's probably 16, 17 other great podcasts right now, and Arnie Chapman's growing that sportshistorynetwork.com every single day with new podcasts and blogs and great stories on sports history. So make sure you check that out. Until tomorrow, everybody, have a great Gridiron Day.
Peeking up at the clock, the time's running down. We're going to go into victory formation, take a knee, and let this baby run out. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you back tomorrow for the next podcast.
We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. Pigskindispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. A special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com. Hey there, Sports History fan. This is Arnie Chapman, a.k.a. the Football History Dude, and I wanted to thank you for stopping by to listen to another episode here on the Sports History Network. Our podcasters are passionate about uncovering and sharing sports stories from yesteryear. And if you didn't know it already, we have over 30 shows across the network covering all sorts of sports history topics. In fact, here's a glimpse into one of our awesome podcasts here on the network.
Do you wish you knew more about the 100 seasons of the NFL? You're in luck, because you found the Football History Dude podcast, where each episode is a journey back in time to learn about the rich history of the NFL. From the founding of the league in an auto showroom, all the way to what it is today, America's favorite sport and a behemoth of an industry. My name is Arnie Chapman. Football is my passion, and I want you to come along with me each week to explore the yesteryear of the gridiron. So hop on board my DeLorean, and let's get this baby up to 88 miles per hour.
How about that? I bet you're super hyped to go listen to that new podcast, right? Well, to learn about this show and all the other podcasts on the network, head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/podcasts. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/podcasts. Head over there today to find your next favorite sports history podcast.